Hello, this is Wade. You know, it's always my hope that you'll be blessed and inspired in your walk with the Lord as you listen today.
Well, praise the Lord. God's awesome, isn't he? And if you haven't figured that out yet, just wait around. He'll prove it. I got no doubt about that. If you have your Bibles, would you turn them over to Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. As we continue in a series that we've started called Foundations, and it's all about the beginning steps of our Christian faith. And I started this because we had quite a few people that had given their hearts to the Lord. And these are steps that each of us take. And I just want to revisit that because, you know, in any kind of sports, there are certain fundamentals. And you know, I shared with you a little bit about my basketball experiences and my coaching experiences with the girls' junior high team. And that proved to be quite a test for me. And but, you know, when you don't know the fundamentals, when you don't have them down, you're never going to be very good at a sport. And obviously, fundamentals for basketball is dribbling the ball, shooting the ball, passing the ball, fast breaking with the ball, all of these different things. And if you don't have those steps down, you're not going to be very good at it. So what I want to do today is just kind of remind you of some of those fundamental steps. And today is one of those days. I titled just Next Steps. So Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it says this: We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So after accepting Jesus Christ as a new believer, you need to be baptized. And you might ask yourself, why? Well, I want you to consider these three things. First, in the early church, we see this carried out. So there's a precedent, okay? It was done in the early church. They did it for a reason and for a purpose. That's kind of a, maybe not as a powerful experience, but we can see it through the gospel record. Because we see this in Acts chapter 8, and it's probably one of my favorite stories in the New Testament. Philip, who I have a brother named Philip, so this maybe that's more endearing to me. But Philip was instructed by an angel of the Lord to travel down the desert road, the road that goes between Gaza and Jerusalem. And he travels down the road, and he comes upon a foreign dignitary, an Ethiopian by chance, standing outside of his limo on the side of the road. Okay, when I say limo, I really mean chariot, okay? But I say limo because I like to make things more modern, okay? So here's this dignitary from a foreign country. He's on the side of the road. He's outside of his limo, chariot, and he's reading. And the Spirit of God tells Philip, go closer to him. And as he gets closer to him, he recognizes that the man is reading from the book of Isaiah. And Philip hears him, and he knows that it's Isaiah. So Philip asks him, do you understand what you're reading? He goes, well, how do I understand unless somebody tells me? And so they get into the limo. And as they're traveling, chariot, as we travel, I'm just trying to help you, okay? The Ethiopian dignitary begins reading from the text, and he says this, in Acts chapter 8, verse 32, he reads this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began, from that very passage of Scripture, began to share the good news of Jesus Christ to this foreign dignitary. And as they're driving along, they come upon some water. And as they see the water, the eunuch basically says, whoa, there's water. Why can't I not be baptized? And so they stop everything. They get out. They go down in the water. They get he gets baptized. And then it says this in Acts 8, verse 39. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. And the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Can you imagine what that guy was thinking? An angel had just appeared to me. An angel had just come, and I could just, I don't know, I imagine it like this. He's like, bro, did you see that? He was here, now he's gone. That was so lit. Now, I don't know what lit means, but my senior who's a grandson, my grandson who's a senior, he says lit all the time, and he calls all his friends bro, okay? So I'm just trying to, get with it here, okay? I'm not with it. I'm without it, okay? But could you imagine what I think so cool about this passage, though, is that this man had bought a copy of the book of Isaiah. He had come from Jerusalem. He was on his way to Gaza. And the next step from Gaza was Egypt and then on to Ethiopia. This man was a foreign dignitary. He had a copy of Isaiah, and now he understood what Isaiah was saying, and he was going to share that and take it into Ethiopia. This was one of the first signs we have of the gospel stretching out into a foreign. And one of the disciples, and I can't remember which one, would actually be the disciple that would go to Ethiopia after Christ's death and resurrection and when the church was being persecuted. So this was an amazing moment in church history. But in every case in the New Testament that we look at, salvation is often followed by water baptism. In Acts chapter 2:38, we read this. The apostle Peter said, repent and be baptized. In Acts 16, the jailer came out with Paul and Silas, and he came out to him and said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And he said, you and your household. And so they shared the word with him and all that lived in his house. So they preached and they shared the good news of Jesus Christ with them. And in verse 33 of Acts 16, we read this, at that hour of the night, the jailer took Paul and Silas, washed their wounds, and then he and all his people were baptized immediately. Notice the phrase immediately. There's no pausing. There's none of this. Jesus said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved in Mark 16:16. There is another reason to be baptized if you have not been baptized, and that is this. Secondly, it's just a command of the Lord, okay? It's just a command. It's a command from God himself. Now, as a new follower of Christ, or maybe a follower that's never been baptized, it's important to understand that as a follower of Christ, that you follow Christ. If you're going to be a follower of Christ, you probably should follow Christ, right? And I'm not really sure who said this, but I like it, and I quote it here. At times it may seem that God's way is slower, but it is sure. Happy and wise beyond measure are those who, without wavering, walk in it. To walk in God's way is the wisest thing you and I can do. If God says the next step is baptism by water, that's what we need to do. Amen? Because it's God's word. If you are going to genuinely follow after the Lord, wouldn't it be good to follow after him? So let us follow his leading. Let's follow his decrees. Let's follow his commands. Jesus said in the gospel according to Mark chapter 16, go into all the world, preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Now, this is just not a symbolic act. Water baptism is just not a symbolic act. It's real. It's tangible. There's a reason for it. It's an act of obedience to the one who gave his life for you. The first thing the Lord asks you to do after accepting him is to be baptized. And so that is the next step. And he's wanting to see if you will obey that. I can remember when I gave my heart to the Lord at 19, the same Sunday night that my brother-in-law, Jody's brother, Rick, who is the oldest, Greg, who passed away just yesterday, he was the youngest. He was the baby. But Rick came back. He ran away from home. He was doing drugs out in Denver. He came back that Sunday night that I came. I showed up Sunday night. And then Jeff Owen, who you all know, also showed up that Sunday night. And we all kind of got saved at the same time. I don't know how that happens. And the next morning, I came to church. They wanted old-fashioned Sunday. I came to old-fashioned Sunday. And I had a sheet. I cut a hole in it, put it over me, put a blanket over the top. I looked like one of the Bible characters. I thought I would win. Nobody thought I was going to win. Everybody thought I was weird. Who is this guy that looks like he's from the Greek era coming to church here? Because they didn't know me, and they forgot that I had come Sunday night. And Jody goes, "We just thought he was weird." And I have proven that over and over again, apparently. I have lived up to that. So everything, it all comes down to this act of obedience. Will I do what the Lord asked me to do? And it's one of the first things that he asked us to do. So since our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because we've accepted Jesus Christ, the next step is to ask for water baptism. And we just happen to have a baptismal here. I think it's cool, and I'm going to tell you this. Every growing church that I've ever seen is actively baptizing people. I don't know what it is, but I have seen it over and over again. When a church is leading people to Christ and they're baptizing, that church will grow. And I think it's important that we understand that we are happy when people are baptized, right? In hope of one day, Jesus is going to raise us from the dead. That's what baptism is kind of all about. So what's the third reason for water baptism? Well, Jesus was our example. Jesus was our example. If Jesus was baptized as an example, what must we do then? I mean, if he was our example, we need to follow that example. In Matthew's gospel, we see Jesus coming to John the Baptist to be baptized. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John, but John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you. And you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. You know what's so cool about this? Is that John the Baptist recognized that this is the Son of God, and maybe we're playing the wrong role here. I should be baptized by you. But Jesus says, "Let it be so. Let's do what's right in God's sight." You see, Jesus Christ was God, fully man and fully God. And he did everything the right way. He lived a sinless life. It was perfect in all its ways. Jesus was the Son of God, and he lived this perfect, sinless life. He was the example, and we see the standard in him. You think you're righteous? You think you're all right? Never look at other people to determine that. Look to Jesus. And when you look to Jesus, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find yourself always below him, because he was the perfect Son of God. And so we don't look at other people. We don't judge ourselves by other people. We look to him, and he is the standard that we should be trying to live to. Jesus was just that. He was our example. And what happens after Jesus is baptized is no small thing. Look at it in verse 16 and 17 of Matthew 3. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At the moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." I can tell you, when I was baptized, I never heard anything. No voice. I saw nothing. I just know I was wet. And even though this is the most remarkable moment, I think it's important that we realize that what we don't feel And what we don't sense, baptism is very much an act of faith because God asked us to do it. It's just water. It's just water. We have the Son of God. We have the Spirit of God here. We have the Father speaking from heaven. This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And I believe with all my heart, when someone has totally dedicated their life to the Lord, loves the Lord, and they are baptized in water, though they can't hear it, though they can't see it, I believe that God is pleased because it's an obedient act done by faith. It's an outward act describing the inward work. So, what does obedience bring to your life? One thing it does bring, and I'm saying this as my friend always says it, always brings you the favor and the presence of God. When you are living your life the right way, you'll always have his favor, you'll always have his presence near you, which does not mean you'll have no trouble, okay? You will have trouble in this life, but the reality is God's not abandoned you. So if Jesus was baptized as your example, you definitely need to be baptized as well. So according to the Bible, what is baptism? Well, the theological view is this. When a believer publicly identifies themselves as a follower of Christ in new life, I am proclaiming when I get into the baptismal, or I'm at a pond, or I'm at a pool, or wherever I'm doing this, I'm declaring to everyone who's watching that I am a believer in Jesus Christ. I've accepted him as my Lord and Savior, and I don't care who sees it. I am being it's a public witness of my faith to all who are witnessing it. It's a reminder of the gospel as something that is real and tangible because it's changed a life. That gospel has changed a life, and the next step is that public act of identifying with the church of God. We are doing what God's asked us to do. Now, if you're avoiding being baptized, and I'm telling you, I've heard this all my life, I've seen it. If you're avoiding being baptized because you are embarrassed or ashamed of how you're going to look when you come out of the water, you know, you've ever heard the old phrase, you look like a drowned rat. Yeah. Now, for you younger people, you don't care. You know, you just come out of the water, you're happy as a lark. But for older people, they realize that there are things and bumps and stuff that's all over. And it can be embarrassment, okay? But let me tell you something. When you come out of the water at College Drive Assembly, this church has one thing it does, and it claps, and it shouts, and it rejoices because a person has received Jesus Christ and they're publicly proclaiming it. Amen? And so don't be embarrassed. And can I just touch on this? It can be just a point of pride. It can be just a point of pride. And you know, that pride needs to be laid in the grave, right? That pride needs to be put down. The old man needs to be buried, that new man may raise up from the grave, that new creature. You need to humble yourself. Go down into that grave. Go down in that water grave. Reminds me of the Song of the Imperials. That's an old song, brother. I'm telling you, that goes way back. The old man you used to be needs to be put in the grave. And I guarantee you, I know what this church will do. It will not make fun of you. It will rejoice with you, okay? Because you have publicly confessed that you are the follower of Jesus Christ, and that's what this church will know. In Matthew chapter 10, 32 through 33, it says, "Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven." The Greek word baptizo means to immerse or to submerge. So if you were a baby and you were sprinkled, I'm telling you, it doesn't count. And I'll tell you why it doesn't count. Number one, did you agree to be baptized? As a baby, you didn't agree because you didn't have any say in it. Secondly, did you believe Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? No, because your parents did this because they cared. They were doing what they knew was right, and so they had you water baptized. But if you've come to Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, then you need to be water baptized. You're making the decision, and you've accepted Jesus Christ. And that's the two elements that we're talking about here. So baptism, like I said before, is an act of faith. It's an outward act demonstrating the inward work of God. You're identifying in front of everybody that Jesus is your Lord. In baptism, you are agreeing with God that Jesus Christ now lives in you, and he is your righteousness. The old is dead. The new you has come to life, a new creation. You laid that old man in the grave, but you rose a new creature. And I'm laughing here because I remember when I was baptized, it was a pond, okay, with lots of life. And, you know, there's nothing more creepy than to be in a pond when you don't know what's crawling around your leg. And that'll unnerve a pastor at any moment, okay? That's why I'm really praising the Lord that we have a baptistry here at College Drive, because I have been in ponds, and you never know. Reminds me of a story of a gentleman that went down, and when he came up, his hair was gone, literally. And it was floating on top, and they thought it was a water. Thought it was a muskrat had come up there to, anyway. So lay that old man in the grave. Raise up as a new creature. I mean, as the water falls from your body, so your sins fall from your soul, literally. I mean, it doesn't happen literally, but it's like that. It's the water baptism is so much, goes along with salvation. So why do you need to be baptized after receiving Jesus as your Savior? Three reasons. The early church practiced baptism. It's a command from the Lord. And three, Jesus was our example. Now, have you ever wondered why Christianity swept the known world? I mean, you think about it. This is a question that's been asked in Christian universities for many centuries. How is it that this, I mean, people are like, what did it? What took place? What was it that caused this to happen? Well, there's a guy named Timothy Keller, and he puts this question this way, and I love how he puts it, and he's very articulate. Listen, read this with me. This was the question: why, considering Christianity started with a ragtag group of uneducated people with no power and no money, why did this religion, when it was competing with dozens and scores of other philosophies and political movements and other religions, why did this not just succeed in Rome and empire, but absolutely sweep it completely and entirely? Why did it do that? How could it have done that? End quote. They came up with two main reasons. The first one was this: Christians died better than anybody. Christians died better than anybody. Historians said that Christians died so well that the pagan world had never seen anything like it. When they were put in the arena with lions coming after them, they were singing. They were praising God. They were smiling and hugging one another. They died with such peace. And my friends, today, nothing has changed. I have been in the ER. With people that have been in the accident that I've worked, and they struggle, and they fight, and they claw, and they cry for help. And I have seen the unrighteous die. And it is nowhere close to those who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I have seen that. People clawing, desperately not wanting to surrender. But I have seen the righteous die with such peace. I'm like looking at two men who absolutely saw it too, as their wives passed from this earth to the next with such peace. My friends, nothing has changed. Christians still die better than anyone. Secondly, Christians accept and care for anybody. This is from a textbook, and I quote, "Great Emperor Julian at one point wrote a letter to a pagan friend and said, 'We can't stop these Christians. The reason they're so popular is the Jews take care of the Jewish poor, the Greeks take care of the Greek poor, the Romans take care of the Roman poor, the Christians take care of all of them.'" My friends, the reality is that there is something that we are missing. You might be asking yourself, what does this have to do with anything about water baptism? This is the heritage and the fruit of a changed life. You and I are on this here by the shoulders of someone who preached and taught us. We are and have an obligation to the next generation to preach to them, to share the good news with them, that they might know Jesus Christ. You know what I love about this church? We have a youth pastor and a worship leader that literally are training the next generation of worship people. I love that. We have an obligation to move this on, to take it the next step. That's our job. And my friends, the church is shrinking, but it doesn't have to. It doesn't have to, because we are the heritage of all those prayers, all those things. There's nothing in the water. There's nothing that should bring change in a person's life, but it happens. Jesus Christ comes into a soul and changes them completely, completely. It doesn't happen overnight, but sometimes it can happen in a crazy way overnight. But my friends, the reality is this change comes at salvation. God asks us to do the next step, our first act of obedience, and to be baptized by water. And it begins and is manifested by that obedience and wanting to say, "I'll be baptized." Now, I grew up Baptist, okay? Ain't going to kid you. But I want you to know that I came into the full gospel message. I came into the fullness of the Spirit when I started to attend in Assemblies of God Church. There is so much more, but the first two steps is salvation and water baptism. And my friends, I want you to be in those first two steps, because they cover the bases. There's a lot more yet to come. Next week, we're going to, if the Lord should tarry, if he doesn't come back for his church, if he does come back for his church, you'll hear from a better preacher next week, okay? But if he tarries, we're going to talk about the goal of our faith. The goal of our faith. What is the goal of our faith? That's what we're going to talk about next week. So would you pray with me? Father, we come to you now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask God that you would just bless you.
Hey, this is Pastor Wade. Thanks so much for stopping by and listening today. And like always, my prayer is that the Lord would bless you and guard your heart for that day.